Today we're going to be looking at a sermon I've entitled, I Need You. And I do need you. And I hope that you can say that to other folks too. I need you. Listen to these words that Paul writes to the Corinthian church about the body of Christ and how the body of Christ works together, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we would think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. It's interesting that Paul writes this message to a wonderful church. A church that is powerful, a church that is strong, but a church that doesn't get it right. You see, this church that Paul's writing this letter to is a church that sees spiritual gifts as this gift is better than this gift. And if you're really a Christian, you'll have the greater gift. Not just the lower ones, but you'll have the greater gift. And they took all the gifts that God had given, and they kind of graded them. And they said, this one's about this, and this one's about here, and this one's about here. And this church basically said, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not really a Christian. That's what they said. And Paul writes this passage along with chapter 13 and chapter 14 to try to help them see something different about how God has put together the body of Christ. And he says that all the gifts are valid and all are needed. But he helps them to understand by what we may think of as a crazy way to talk about things. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell be? or if the whole body were an ear. And he also talks about the hands can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Nor can the feet say to the hands, I don't need you. Ever tried to tie your shoes without your hands? Let me know if you know how to do that, because I'd just like to watch. You see, Paul says our physical bodies are made up in such a way that all the parts have got to work together. And all the parts affect each other, by the way. All the parts affect each other, by the way. Get a blister on your heel by walking, and how much of your body does it affect? Hit your thumb with a hammer, and what's the first part of your body it affects? Your mouth. It doesn't affect your thumb first, does it? I want you to think about this. All of this interacts. All of this comes together. And you see, one of the things that happens particularly in American Christianity, it does not happen in all Christianities around the world, but in Americans' form of Christianity, what particularly happens is individualism. It's about me. It's about my salvation. It's about my relationship with God. It's about me growing in the faith. You know what? Individualism is not a concept for the local church to maintain. Individualism is not a concept for the local church to maintain. Because what Paul is trying to say here about the body of Christ, it's not about me. It's about us together as a body of Christ. And in this case, we're a local body of Jesus Christ right here on the corner of these two streets in Withville, Virginia. We are a local body of Christ. It's not about 50 or 60 individuals getting together on a Sunday and we're all looking for God's specific word for us so that we all can go our own particular directions and do our own thing. That's the idea of American society, isn't it? The dream is about me getting all my stuff, and I got more stuff than you got, so I won. And when my neighbor gets better stuff than me, then I got to get better stuff than my neighbor. That's not the idea of the church. Individualism is not to be maintained by the local church. It's about us working together. Does God come to me as pastor every morning and explain to me exactly every step this church needs to take? Hasn't happened yet. I would love for that to happen. It has not happened yet in my 57 years of life, in my 22 years of ministry. It has not happened yet. You see, it's not individualism. It's a community of faith working together in a way that we come to understand what God is saying to all of us collectively as a community. I may see a piece of it, and you may see a different piece of it. And as we put those pieces together, we may see even a different piece of what it looks like. But if we maintain our own individuality within this congregation, we will never be who God wants us to be as the local body of Jesus Christ. Never. It's not about individualism. The second thing that I want to share with you is that spiritual journeys are personal. Your spiritual journey is personal, but it is never meant to be private. Your spiritual journey is personal. Your journey may happen in a different way than my journey happens. But it is not meant to be private. You see, as I learn from God and as I understand more about God and as I walk my journey, I should be open about my journey and sharing it with you so that you can see who God is and that you can understand how God's leading and how God's directing. Another way to say this in a way is you don't need to reinvent the wheel. As you learn from other people's spiritual journeys, you can learn in your spiritual journey. I have met a lot of people that believe that their spiritual journey should never be shared with anyone else. And they keep it tucked away, and they keep it hidden. That's my relationship with God. That's what God and I have been through. Well, you've been through that for the benefit of other people also. You've been through that so that other people can learn from that spiritual journey that you have walked. It's called transparency. I need to be transparent about my spiritual life. And you need to know how I have walked with God so that you can gather an understanding of how to walk with God better than you have in the past. So if you think your spiritual journey should be kept private, now let me caution you. I'm not asking each one of you to come up here and stand here and tell me every little detail about your spiritual journey. But I think it is necessary for us to share with other folks, especially one-on-one. What have you learned with God, especially in small groups, especially in Sunday school class? What have you learned from God? I want to say at least the first year while I was here and we had staff meetings, I only asked one question every staff meeting. One question, and that was it. Where have you seen God in the past month? And that was the only thing we talked about for the whole staff meeting. We didn't talk about programs. We didn't talk about organization. We didn't talk about what needs to happen next. All I asked was, where have you seen God in the past month? And I think the whole first year that I was here, that's all we talked about. That's important for us to share with one another. You see, fellowship is more than eating a meal around the table. Fellowship is more than catching up with about children and grandchildren. Fellowship is more than talking about what the weather is going to be this week on Thursday morning when you get up and it's only going to be 3 degrees. I'm sorry if you didn't know that already. I spoiled the week. I should have let you know. Spoiler alert. Folks, fellowship is about sharing our personal journeys with God with one another. And that's necessary. That is necessary. The next thing I want to share with you on how the church works. One person's hurt or joy is the hurt or joy of the whole church. One person's hurt or joy is the hurt or joy of the whole church. I mean, that's very simple. I asked you, you hit your thumb with a hammer. It does not affect just the thumb. It affects you buttoning your shirt the next morning. Right? It affects you being able to put your bracelet on. It affects all kinds of things. And when somebody within our community of faith is hurting, it's going to affect, it should affect all of us. And we should be about helping that person. Now I want to add something right in here that I didn't think about until I was sitting here and listening to the choir sing. Christians are taught that we're supposed to give, right? You're supposed to give. You're supposed to give money to the church. You're supposed to give money to organizations that need help. You're supposed to give time to the church. You're supposed to give to other people where they need help, right? And here's what typically happens among Christians. We're supposed to give. I'm supposed to be about giving. Jesus Christ gave, I'm supposed to give. We hardly ever receive. We hardly ever receive. Did you realize that somebody can't give unless you receive sometimes? Somebody can't give unless you receive. And if you happen to be the person in the body of Christ that at that moment is hurting or suffering, it's not for you to say, no, that's all right, I don't need it. It's for you to allow the rest of the community to give to help you. That's being Christian too. I've explained it this way to many folks. You know the feeling you get when you give to somebody and you help somebody out? The feeling that you get about, wow, that felt right, that felt good. You know that feeling? You guys know that? Somebody else can't have that feeling unless you receive sometimes. Somebody else can't have that feeling unless you receive sometimes. So to be Christian means that you give, but it also means that you receive. And you may be part, the very part of the local body of Christ that needs help at that time. It's not being humble going, oh no, I don't need help. That's not humble. Humble is accepting the help, recognizing that it's the community that's building you up and encouraging you. That's humbleness. Accepting the gift that the community wants to bring to you. Whether it's just prayers, whether it's coming over and cutting your grass because you've had surgery and you can't cut your grass, whether it's anything. You see, when one person hurts or has joy, it should be the hurt and the joy of the whole community. We should celebrate together. We should walk together in such a way that I don't mind stopping and helping you. And you don't mind letting me help you. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. I mean, look at what Paul says. If the eye says I don't need you, right? Think about it this way. Pretend that your body is nothing but one big eyeball. That's it. Just a big old eyeball. No eyelid, no nothing else, just an eyeball. Okay? And you are standing on a railroad track, looking down the railroad track. And you go, I am perfectly safe. I can stand here, but I don't know how the eye stands there without feet, but I can stand here all day with no problems. What's coming from this direction? Did you ever think about that? The eye can't turn around to look. The eye can't hear that there's anything coming from this direction. What happens to the eye? Splat. When we say, I don't need the rest of the body of Christ, just remember, you might get run over by a train when you're looking the wrong way. Because the whole body can't be an eye. The whole body can't be an ear. It is quite possible to walk on your hands. But it's very rarely I ever see anybody do that. So I'm pretty sure we need our feet. What do you think? Every person in this room is needed in the body of Christ. Every person in this room is needed in the body of Christ. And what God teaches you, you need to share with the community of faith so that we can grow in our relationship with God. For the body of Christ is designed to be an interconnected and interacting structure. An interconnected and an interacting structure. That's who we're supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be able to function without you in the body of Christ. And by the way, there's probably other folks that need to be here to be part of this body of Christ so that we can function the way that God wants us to function. And we've got room for them, amen? And without them, we may not be the interconnected and the interacting structure that God has designed for us. Jonathan, just show us the picture there. Isn't this an absolutely beautiful picture? It's, from what I can remember looking at some pictures, it's probably about 3, 3.5, 4 foot across. And it's supposed to be a circle. It doesn't quite end up that way with our projectors, but it is a circle. Isn't that incredible? The letters on either side, by the way, stand for Jesus Christ. They are the Greek letters, the first and last letter of each word, Jesus Christus, or Jesus Christos. Okay? So that letter that looks like a C is a capital S, okay? Just trust me on that one. You can go look that one up if you want. It's a capital S, the way S's are done at the end of words in Greek, okay? S's look different in the middle of a word in Greek than they do at the end of the word, but it's the same letter, okay? That stands for Jesus Christus, or Jesus Christ. Absolutely incredible picture. Jonathan, show us a close-up. What do you see? An eye. What else do you see? Lots of little pieces. The picture that you've been looking at is what's called a mosaic. It's made up of lots of little rocks. It's not painted as all one piece. It's not made as all one piece. It's lots of little pieces. Jonathan, can you go back to the full size? That whole thing is that way. That's the way the body of Christ should work. If all the little pieces are in the right place, and everybody's doing what God's calling each person to do in the body of Christ, then you end up with a picture of Christ. Isn't that neat? I mean, at this stage, it's almost, wow, that's a wonderful painting. But it's not a painting. It's just a bunch of rocks. Set in the right place, doing the right thing, to all work together to establish one thing. They're interconnected, they're interacting. One part doesn't have more importance than another part. I don't know how many of you have worked jigsaw puzzles, but I'm just going to ask you a question. If you got a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and you're missing one piece, what's the first thing somebody's going to tell you when they look at your puzzle? You're missing a piece. You mean you're not going to say, wow, how great you were to get 999 pieces in the right place, connected together? Oh, I love when people look at the negative first. The positive is 999 pieces all got in the right place, connected together. And the first thing everybody wants to tell you, oh, you're missing a piece. Well, thank you. I kind of knew that. And I've been looking for that piece, and I don't know where the cat's drug it off to, but when I find it, I'll put it in there. By the way, I'm going to tell a little story that happened this past week, I guess it was. I've shared with you before about the body of Christ and working together, and I did it through an illustration with a jigsaw puzzle. And many of you got a piece of the puzzle and you took it home with you. This past week, I was cleaning out the drawers in my desk and wondering, why am I holding on to this and why am I holding on to this? And I threw some things away. And one of the things I threw away was a jigsaw puzzle that didn't have all its pieces. The lady that cleans the church for us took it home, and her mother decided, I don't know why the pastor threw a puzzle away, but we're going to put it together. And it didn't have a box. And I saw her on Wednesday night, and Janet looked at me and she said, you played a trick on me, didn't you? And I said, what? She said, you threw away a puzzle that didn't have all its pieces just because you wanted to harass me. No, I threw away a puzzle that didn't have all its pieces because it was trash. And she took it out of the trash. And then we had a conversation on why I had a puzzle that was missing pieces. And she said, you know what? I'm going to go to my church and I'm going to talk to them about that. She said, you know, my mother and I put that puzzle together, even though it was missing pieces. And even though we had the majority of the pieces, we still don't know what the picture is. You see, folks, unless all the pieces are together and they're all working together, interacting, interconnected, you don't get to see the whole picture. Unity with diversity is the plan of God for any local body of Christ. Unity with diversity is the plan of God for any local body of Christ. Do we all need to look the same? If all those pieces in that mosaic look the same, what would you see? One color, right? That's all you'd see. You would not see the image of Christ. Unity with diversity. We're meant to be different. God created us that way. And with our differences, we're meant to fit together so that we can reflect the image of Jesus Christ to this town. So I'm going to leave you with this question. How do you need to change to allow for unity and diversity to better exist in our community of faith? How do you need to change to allow for unity and diversity to better exist in our community of faith? And I'm bold enough to make one more statement. Every one of us needs to change in some way. Every one of us needs to change in some way. So don't sit there and go, well, I'm glad those people sitting in that pew over there were here to hear this today. I'm asking you, not they or them. I'm asking you, how do you need to change so that we can be the body of Christ that God wants us to be at Withville Baptist Church? Let's pray. Lord, we do need each other. And we do need each other in most important ways. so that we can function as you have designed us to be. So, Lord, as we know that, all of us must change so that we can be interconnected, interacting together. All of us must open up and share our journeys with one another. All of us must be open to new possibilities that might come about as we work together to see who you want us to be as a community of faith. So, Lord, we pray that you would guide us to see in ourselves what needs to be transformed to be who you're calling us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.